The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Well, one of the things that the coronavirus outbreak has perhaps helped us do is recognize those things that we have in common. We're all vulnerable to varying degrees to the coronavirus, to viruses in general, to sickness, to death. And so maybe we'll talk about human fragility a bit more in this context, as opposed to having to deal with the obsession of the cultural Marxist left, you know, who have infiltrated and effectively run pre-K through post-secondary education and have moved off virus mutating, move from privilege to a theory called white fragility. White fragility developed by Robin DiAngelo, who is a sociologist of some sort, academic of some sort, and part of the race grievance industry, to borrow a phrase from my friend Bob Woodson, going around the country teaching young people about white privilege, white fragility, all under the rubric of whiteness studies that advocate the notion that racism is inseparable from the reign of whiteness. And this is why, per the 1619 Project, racism is embedded in America's DNA through slavery, and there's nothing we can do about it, which, of course, prompts the question, if there's nothing we can do about it, then why should we even discuss it? For more on this topic, we're pleased to be joined by Jonathan Church. He's a government economist, a CFA charter holder, contributor to the Federalist, Quillette, and ARC Digital, author of the upcoming book, Reinventing Racism, Why White Fragility, quote unquote, is the Wrong Way to Think About Racism. Jonathan, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
So let's start with definitions, at least as so presented by the Robin DiAngelos of the world. What is white fragility?
As she defines it directly out of her paper and her book, it's a state in which even a minimal amount of racial stress becomes intolerable, triggering a range of defensive moves. Now, this definition arises in the context of talking about race and racism, and the underlying presumption in, I guess I call it the theory of white fragility, although she defines it as one aspect of whiteness, but it arises in the context of talking about racism with white people and why it's supposedly so hard for white people to talk about racism. And so the idea in this definition is that whenever you whenever DiAngelo and her acolytes and other whiteness scholars and so on want to talk about racism, it's just very hard for white people to talk about it. And so they react defensively, with emotions that she identifies as things like anger, shame, and guilt, and so on. And she extracts this from her many years of, doing diversity trainings and so on. But that's the way she would go about.
So Robin DiAngelo says, and let's say, put this in a setting. Robin DiAngelo says to me, you're a white man, you're irredeemably racist. And I say, no, I'm not. And that's an example of my white fragility.
Basically. Yeah. If you want to put it concisely, that's the idea. It's important to say, relies on a certain understanding of what racism is. And one of the themes that she would talk about is that we got to get away from this so-called good-bad binary, which is, that racism is simply committing bad acts and discriminating, racial slurs, whatever. But that racism is more insidious, it's more embedded, it's this notion of whiteness. And you were talking about the virus earlier, and it's sort of like this virus that infects every institution in society. It doesn't mean that in calling you a racist as a white person that you're a bad person. That's not, that doesn't seem to be the point. It's that you're sort of, as you say, irredeemably racist because you have all these unconscious implicit biases, that you've been raised in a racist culture, that society is systemically racist, and you know, what the goal here is to start to get people to, the white people to start thinking about racism in terms of this understanding of racism, hence the title of my book, Reinventing Racism. It's this sort of new way of looking at racism as something that's endemic, systemic in society. I'll argue that this has to do, succumbs to what's called the reification fallacy, but, you know, no need for, like, fancy terminology at this point.
Well, I want to let me just hold you there because I want to get to the implications and the consequences of adopting this redefinition of racism. We'll do that with Jonathan Church, author of Reinventing Racism, Why White Fragility, quote unquote, is the wrong way to think about racism. Be back with more right after this.
Exposing political fakers, fixers, and takers. He's Dan Proft, and this is the Dan Proft Show.
We're back with Jonathan Church. He's a government economist, contributor to the Federalist, Colette, Arc Digital, author of the book, upcoming book, Reinventing Racism, Why White Fragility is the Wrong Way to Think About Racism. And we're talking about the theory, so let's get the getting the definition right, at least according to the purveyors of it, the so-called scholars in the white studies discipline. And I want to get to the academic heft of that discipline in a second. But first, the agenda here, and what the purpose, getting white people to think about them just being endemically racist, intrinsically racist. And so we need to think about forever being in apology mode or forever ceding power to people who are not white because we're fundamentally damaged and incapable of being positions of authority because we're innately racist. Is that it? Is that the point?
I think that is getting at it. Yeah, that's more. I mean, they'll object to that, and D'Angelo would object to that on some nuanced level. But I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to. And you know, in a way that might resonate with listeners is essentially it's like a Kafka trap. There is a set definition of how racism works, which is that it's just like a self-regenerating process that everything you do and say and act and whatever is reinforcing white supremacy. And then the issue is to investigate how. So in one paper, she says whiteness studies takes for granted white privilege and instead of trying to prove it, seeks to reveal it, which is, of course, circular reasoning, which, you know, it's sort of assuming what you're trying to prove. But the issue is that we assume this is the case, that racism is based on whiteness and white privilege and that white people have no idea how to address it. And then we work from there. And if you disagree with that, you're exhibiting white fragility.
Right.
So essentially you have
right.
a Kafka trap where any denial or defensiveness is treated as evidence of your guilt.
But ultimately that has to have a point, which is why I say this is ultimately about, well, you're disqualified from being in any position of authority. You're disqualified from being in an executive level over other people, particularly people of color. And it's not your behavior. It's even beyond thought crime. It's you're hardwired this way. Thus, how could you be in a position of any authority or influence?
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue into another main point that I want to make is that this relies crucially on the idea of implicit bias.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading closely the psychology literature on this and corresponding with some psychology professors. And the more you learn, the more you realize that the implicit bias paradigm in psychology is a mess. That the creators of the implicit association test, wildly oversold the idea, and because it sort of resonated with, concerns about racism in society, it sort of took on a life of its own. But as we seem to research and investigate more and more, it's becoming clear that it's not clear what, in fact, implicit bias is. Like, it's hard to really define it. And then second, the IAT, the implicit association test, is riddled with all sorts of problems, but it seems to have very little value in, if any, in predicting behavior. So even if you have lots of implicit associations in your mind, it doesn't necessarily indicate that you're going to behave in a certain way. And one psychology professor essentially described it to me as a scientific Rorschach test.
Did I pronounce it? Rorschach. I mean, here's the thing about that, because I've been covering this for a couple of years, too. And I want to go back to a piece at Vox.com, left wing outlet of all places, about implicit the implicit bias and the IAT test. It's junk science. This piece from German Lopez that I'm citing, Vox.com. IAT is not good for predicting individual biases based on just one test. It requires, at minimum, a collection of tests before it can really make any sort of conclusions. Calvin Lai, who is a postdoctoral fellow at Harvard, said it can predict things in the aggregate, but it cannot predict behavior at the level of an individual. But it doesn't even matter about predicting behavior, because what white fragility says, your behavior is irrelevant. Even if you're running around promoting. Promoting the white fragility theory, you're still beset by it. I mean, you're saying your behavior doesn't matter. So it doesn't, as you said, the Kafka trap, it doesn't matter what you do except full embrace. And ultimately it has to go to full deferral, because what else is the point?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of the logically incoherent nature of the theory, which is, I mean, they would say, of course, your behavior does matter because it has effects on the world, and that what you need to do is start accepting all this and just, you know, go through this struggle session, which is a lifelong process of anti-racism, whatever. But at the same time, it seems as though everything you do is simply reinforcing racism.
Well, here's the other thing. So this is a piece is from 2017 that I was just citing, and you're talking about your conversations with psychologists. The psychology profession is a hard left profession in terms of its practitioners and their politics. And they basically said this is junk science, the IAT test. And yet this persists. The scientific quality of it, the rigor of it doesn't matter. The intellectual heft of it doesn't matter, because you have all these implicit bias trainers, these diversity consultants that populate K-12 public school systems around the country, that they have offices at the collegiate level. You have implicit bias response teams at 230 plus universities. So the accuracy of it, the academic heft of it, it doesn't even matter. It's too late.
Yeah, that unfortunately might be the case. It just makes a lot of intuitive sense at first, and so it's just kind of spread like wildfire. But I think recently there's just an emerging movement. In fact, I came across a paper that came out a month ago arguing we should just do away with implicit terminology altogether. So there seems to be an emerging movement to sort of, tone down the narrative and just sort of, but, it's spread like wildfire, so who knows?
Yeah, he is Jonathan Church. He is a contributor to The Federalist, Quillette, Arc Digital, author of the upcoming book, Reinventing Racism, Why White Fragility is the Wrong Way to Think About Racism. And he's got a good piece at TheFederalist.com he co-authored, which I will tweet out at Dan Prof Show as well. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
The more you'll know, this is the Dan Prof Show.